Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Inks?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Mr. Santelli is absent tonight. He is on a pre-scheduled vacation. So, under item two, is there any public participation? Okay. Moving on to item three, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-4-0.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I'll be doing that all night. Under Board Business Committee Reports, policy.
Policy, we haven't had to meet the last month just because there were no new policies come out. We had met the previous month, and we have a second reading of a whole bunch of those policies on tonight that we discussed at the last meeting.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Community engagement. Mr. Santelli is not here. I know he continues to work on the banners and get the artwork together for that. Is there anything that you want to add, Mr. Addis?
You know, we've had a new group form recently that I think is somehow going to play a role in community engagement. And it's our really a student wellness group. It features our school counselors and our school psychs. We're embarking upon an all-district approach for next year, just from a, you know, belonging to Norton type mentality and here to help one another. And so that group meets again this Wednesday. And we are, you know, making a concerted effort to get us focused on being there for one another as Norton Panthers. But I see that eventually tricking, you know, moving over into the community engagement piece also, whether it's through t-shirts, slogans, hashtags. So I think it's going to be a good reach out from that group. It's a really strong group.
And you said that's school psychs? And
yeah, it's our counselors. It's our, why, I don't know why I can't think of the acronym right now, probably because I have 1,000 acronyms in my mind. Assessment, it's the AIT, Assessment Intervention Team.
Oh, okay.
And really, it's part of our Sandy Hook Promise that we attended in December, and that has morphed into this team. And so we're getting closer and closer to a theme for next year. And one of the three goals of that group is a parent education program. So
great.
That we will definitely feel that in our community.
Good. Thank you. Okay, technology and instruction. There's always a lot going on there. I know testing is the main focus right now. Mrs. Wagler?
Thursday.
Okay.
At the high school. And then the other schools follow the following week. Yes, we have everything up again and ready to go for testing. So the Tech Advisory Committee, we have one more meeting scheduled for Wednesday, May 8th. Have our end of year wrap up and such. So.
Okay, great. We have not met since the last meeting. I don't have anything additional. Is there anything, Mr. Addis, that you want to add to that?
I think from a curriculum standpoint, our last admin meeting, we're just prepping for testing season, which begins this week. So many other things, as they need to for right now, have been placed on the back burner while we make it through our testing. It's an important time period for us. But I want to go back to the technology component as it relates to this. I want everyone to know the thoroughness of Angie and John in our district when we had the cyber attack. What was it, 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
A month ago?
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it seems like six months ago.
She remembers it well.
But at some point, our entire community needs to understand Angie has educated the entire district in terms of precautions that need to be put in place. I'm not sure everyone understands how large this was. This was not quite catastrophic, but close. As close as it gets. And all we saw was calmness. attention to detail, work, and it was just this consistent approach to educating us, educating the superintendent to make sure he shuts down his computer when he's not there, everyone. And we certainly know that not everyone will adhere to all of the lessons, but I want the board especially to understand this was really big in our school district. And Angie and her team worked tirelessly. So I want to make sure it's on record that we have a deep appreciation for your approach for this.
Well, thank you. And I have to say, the staff all over were fantastic about it. Just extremely patient and understanding and helpful in anything that they could do. So we really appreciate, John and I really appreciate it. People were just extremely understanding and helpful. And I think we just all worked together to get everybody back to where they need to be or close to. You know, I'd say we're probably about 85% back to where we were before it happened. Every single device, every single thing it affected, you know, printers, copiers, servers for all of our doors, cameras, point of sale, lunch programs, fiscal. Wow. I mean, everything needed redone. It was like resetting up the district again.
Wow.
So upgrading everyone to Windows 10 as well. So we did it all in a, you know, few weeks, and so we're good.
I guess just an example is I got back from visiting the building, and Mary had set something on my desk, like, you know, here are the numbers that you had requested, and here she had gotten an email about, I think it was my
direct deposit.
Mm-hmm. My direct deposit. And I never sent her an email about direct deposit. We had been spammed. Is that the right term?
Yes.
Spam? And so luckily Mary followed protocol. You know, she physically didn't type anything into the computer. She brought it over to my desk. And what we all need to understand is that this is making its way into schools.
Wow.
And they are coming after schools hard. It's mind-boggling to think that these people are sitting out there in the world. But one of our good allies as a school just had an attack that was larger than us. And it attempted to take millions of dollars away from them, over $4 million. And luckily, because protocol was established and the people followed what they needed to do, they were able to recover this. But this is money that was laundered to four or five different countries throughout the globe. You know, this amount to Switzerland, this amount here. And once they have it for about 24 hours, you're not getting it back. And luckily, they did some things. And the group that was behind this made a slight error. And the treasurer's office caught it and began this check, and they got most of it back. But it's all coming at us, and so our teachers, I know, you know, Rod's here, we need to all work really hard about our emails and what we're clicking into and messages that we're sending, because these thieves, it's only going to get worse, I would imagine.
They're very, very tricky about what they do. You know, spoofing is another one. So it may look like it comes from that person, it has their name, but the address is slightly different. You have to really analyze and look at stuff before you start clicking on things. So
don't open up any emails from Mr. Dana Addis.
I would always be careful of
you. You never know what's going to be in.
You never know, that's so true.
Well, thank you, Angie, and please thank John for us also.
I will.
Good job. Operations.
Our next meeting is scheduled for the 16th of this month. We haven't met since
couple
our
months.
Last meeting, so I know there's a lot to talk about, but do you have anything to add? Because, I mean, there's really hasn't been anything that's happened.
You want to talk a little bit about the roofs?
The bids? We have advertised for the roof bids I don't want to say two hallways, but two areas on this building and one area on the elementary school that are in desperate need of repair, replacement. I believe the ones on this building are going to have to be torn off and replaced. Elementary school can just be corrected, fixed, repaired. Thank you. I think of the word. We have a pre-bid meeting on the 12th and then the bid opening on the 22nd, I believe it is. So hopefully that will come in below what we estimated. That would be very nice. We've ordered a new piece of equipment lawn tractor. It's a lawnmower, and it will also work as a snowplow. It's a large piece of equipment. It's a large expenditure. But we're estimating that's going to cut our mowing time. Chris, can you help me with that? A third,
two
maybe?
Thirds. Oh, by, yeah, half to two-thirds.
It's a huge mower that should get on as we, now we have some large areas that need to be mowed. So that should help us. It was something that we needed. It's going to replace a dump truck that we have that's out of commission that really only was used to plow snow and carry things occasionally. So this will be something that we'll be able to use year-round. I feel like there was something else.
I think what's important, especially, you know, Elizabeth's here, is this, the operations department in the district did its due diligence on the roofing. You know, we talked with the teachers, you know, about some of the building needs, and it kept coming back to this. And obviously you can't have school when it's raining inside of your building. So this became a priority. But one of the final steps that we took, and I think that this was Stephanie working with Keith Fetzer, is that we had some core testing done just to determine how damp our roof really was. And that's what, there was a thermal scan that was done, mm-hmm. and they sent a core test down that determined, and it was soaked to the bone, so to speak. And so that took us, we were trying to determine repair or replace. That became a no-brainer. It's a bigger expense, obviously, but it's a guarantee that it will hopefully last the lifetime of this building.
It should be a 30-year guarantee for the replacement.
On this new roof.
And a 10-year for the repair.
And a lot has come up in operations. You know, when you're talking about a big campus with four schools, operations is important. And this group really sort of rallied against, or, you know, to this point where if it's raining, and our teachers can't teach, none of the other things, not that they don't matter, this is just a priority. And so with spending in the district, everyone realized this is a big ticket item, but it's a priority for us. So we'll move forward with this confidently, knowing that we're taking care of our teachers and our kids.
And the front doors at the middle school. Yes.
Oh, yes. Right.
You want to talk or you want me to?
You can. You're doing well.
So... we have, we've had some recent door issues at NES. They're the original front doors on the old main entrance that when someone walks out of the doors, they don't automatically lock. And so if that person isn't aware of it, we really got to the point where we can't ask. We traditionally don't use those, but, you know, we have people and our kids exit. We can't ask everyone when you walk out, you know, turn around, walk back up the steps and make sure that the door's shut. We have done everything to those doors. Our maintenance has shaved them. They've done lock repairs. The reality is the doors were arrived in 66, and they're the original doors. So many people that went through the building used the doors. They've done their job, and it's time for some new ones that will lock properly for safety. That's about a $13,000 expenditure, but when you're talking about some of our best and cutest kids down at grades 1 through 4. We need to take good care of all of those kids and teachers. So that ended up being a no-brainer. So from an operation standpoint, I would say those are the three priority items, right?
We are also replacing some concrete around the gas pumps down by the bus garage. There's some manhole covers that sit there that it's what we access or what we fill the gas tanks with, and some overspill areas that need to be checked. They have to be inspected, I believe it's yearly or every other year, and they aren't able to pull some of the tubes out to inspect them, so those need to be replaced. The concrete's cracked, and the manholes, a few of them are broken. So that's going to be replaced sometime this spring also. So that will clean that area up.
Okay, and then one other thing we talked about at the last month's meeting is the concrete barriers that we are, that our masonry department is mm-hmm. installing in front of this building by the cafeteria, just to put in more of a barrier in front of the cafeteria windows. So,
and they look great.
They do.
Yeah, they're
they
matching
do.
The other ones perfectly. So the kids did a great job.
Yes. So is there anything else to add? Okay. Finance.
We're going to be meeting May 6th at 4 o'clock. We haven't met since our last time.
Okay. Mrs. Oliveri, is there anything from technology and instruction and curriculum that you want to add? We talked about testing and
And I apologize for being late.
That's okay.
And I were in strategic planning
zone. That's all right.
And I looked up. So I came down. No, we have talked about trying to meet with the primary building because they're the only building that we really haven't had a chance to sit and talk with.
Right.
About discussions and whatnot. So that meeting will have to be at some point in May. So I'll try to coordinate a date.
Okay.
Again, after testing is done, so that, you know, Mr. Morse will be able to come to that meeting as well. And then I think, you know, we kind of talked about a lot of the, not a lot of them, but many of the concerns when we met with our strategic planning group, because we talked about the things that needed to happen with the early literacy and the foundational knowledge and skills, things like that for the younger students. So other than that, right now, testing is, you know, going to be starting this week. As a matter of fact, on Friday, we started the high school. Thursday, we started the high school. And then we recently, I'm here first, then I'll be there. I have something to do with the middle school. And then we talked, I hadn't had a chance to share this out yet, but we had close to 30 students participate in the Seal of Light Literacy in that Apple exam. And unfortunately, currently right now, there wasn't anyone who scored an intermediate 5 or above in all 4 components. We had several students who were close. And then I received an email from them today. 4 students will be retaking it because there were technical difficulties, not on our end, on the Language Testing International, on their end with the speaking portion. So I met with them today, came up to the high school and talked to them. And so 4 students will be retesting and just that section, which they didn't charge us for it, there was no bill for it. So they'll have to retest on April 23rd, which is the makeup day. So of those 4, we had 1 student who had advanced in 3 of the 4. So fingers crossed, if that student does well in the speaking, then that particular student would qualify then for the Seal of Light Literacy. So they have to meet a requirement in those 4 areas. So that's where we are with that. So those reports will be coming home with students today. I gave them to their teachers. So hopefully you can you know, look for those if you had a student participate in that.
Thank you.
Other than that.
Great. Okay.
Can I mention just a little bit more about the finance?
Oh, sure.
I want to talk about the fair funding formula. That there was a newspaper article last week. It appeared Friday. And it's all very exciting. And the possibilities for many districts. We've talked with our community at length about, you know, unconstitutional school funding. This one's been in the works for a couple of years. Educators in general are excited because Bob Cupp is one of the representatives who's leading the way. It has the support of Governor DeWine, and so it made its way into the newspapers last week. We saw the numbers for our own district and the increases in Copley, and everyone can smile and say that this is great. We all hope that it comes true. I think what we need to understand, and Stephanie, you know, she tries to calm me down because I get excited about these things as well, because it would mean additional wellness for the district from a long-term standpoint. However, this is a proposal.
Right.
This has not gone to the House. This has not gone to the Senate. We've seen these proposals come through before. The last major one that we had was a little bit earlier in the year, 2 or 3 years ago. And by the time it got to schools, over $1 billion had been taken out of the state funding formula. That was big. Well, this one right now, and Stephanie may know the numbers because we texted a little bit last week. If all of this would work with Governor DeWine, it would cost the state how much?
$400 million.
$400 million.
In the first year and $320 million in the second.
But how much has he allotted for it?
Isn't it
$250 million the first year and $50 the second?
So that's typically how these things go. We see the benefits.
Right.
We know that our financial growth, by the way, you guys can do this if the government gives us another $200 million. So, you know, we saw, and I think our increase was 2.1 million, 2.3 million. We all need to understand that has not gone to any House, Senate, and the proposal is short $200 million. So it would be really easy for the government to say, well, we'll give you the original one, but you're going to lose $200 million. You know, I'm not a politician. I don't try and, you know, get into their heads. But my guess is that's the first thing that will happen. That's the first hundreds of millions that will go away from this. The plan itself looks great. We actually think it's the fairest what I've read, it looks great. It's really out to help districts in financial need. You know, and this is public knowledge. We're 34% free and reduced lunch. So this plan benefited our district. I hope a portion of that stays in play and we find some benefits from this. But by no way, shape, or form is this anything close to a guarantee at this standpoint.
Right.
It is a proposal. If it comes through, we will all rejoice and be most thankful for our kids, because our kids will see the benefits of this. I just thought it was important to bring that up.
That's a good point.
And I think it's good to be optimistic about it. I've read some articles. One article was saying that this was a good start. Mm-hmm. It's a good attempt. It's better than anything that we've had in the past. And it's a move forward to try and make it more fair and equal among districts that are not as financially well off as other districts. And then one article was saying that, you know, it's, yes, it's a good try, but they didn't give it much credence for passing. So who knows?
Yes.
I mean, we can certainly be hopeful, and I do hope that we get additional funding for this. And I do think it is better than anything that we've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a move in the right direction. So hopefully this will hold up.
And I think it's something we would want for our taxpayers. It's more of a burden upon the state and less on our taxpayers, which every district would want. Mm-hmm. And I read where the 10-cent hike is now officially going to happen, gas-wise. Is that accurate? Mm-hmm. And so that's a proposal that he made that was passed. So to me, whether you agree with the tax hike or not on the gas, that's something that they voted in. And so my heart's telling me, I hope that they look at this education proposal and say, we need this as well, we're moving forward. We're not going to know until...
It's going to be a long time.
It could be October, November before all of that vote comes through.
They had done one, and I forget how long ago it was, 8 years ago maybe, I'm going to guess at that. I believe it was called PASS. I forget what it stood for. But it was to fund students based on where they're at and what they do, and more individualized versus the group thing where the way they're funded now. It was a class size should be, say, 28, and then they were going to fund based on the number of teachers you had for this class size. I'm just making up numbers, but they did something like that, and it was a great formula. And at the time, everybody seemed to like that one, and they put it in place, but they never had the money to fund it. So they would give you the formula. Here it is if you were on this and you actually got what you were supposed to get. However, we can only fund this percentage of it, so here's really what you get. So we'll just not give you less than what you got last year. So even though we had this great formula, we still... we're guaranteed just to get what you got the year before, which seems to be the way we just keep getting funded, because they just don't have the money in it. The formula may work or may not work, but unless they fund it, it doesn't do us any good.
Right.
Even this one, they could put it in place, but then they got to put the money behind it, or it's not going to help us at all.
Their main goal was how much does it cost to educate a child? That was their they tried to come up, and Representative Cupp led the way. And I don't know if you saw this, Angie, but you know they determined... from a technology standpoint, the formula gives every student in the state of Ohio $68 from a technology standpoint. I don't know. That's certainly not device, you know, per, like for every child to have a device, but I'm sure it has something to do with internet at the school. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All of this. And they did a great job. Over 100 people on this, and they each attacked, you know, different levels. So they had a technology crew that came up with that number, $68. So they did things like that and came up with the number.
Mm-hmm. There was a separate transportation area, separate special ed area.
Yes.
You know, everything was broken down, and they each did it separately, and then they put it all together. So they kind of worked in silos, which seems not the way to work, but they were saying, what absolutely does it take for technology? What absolutely does it take for transportation or whatever they were working on, and then they put it all together. And then the one thing they're trying to take into consideration is small districts versus large districts. The smallest district in Ohio has, is it 60 students maybe? The one on Kelly's Island?
Yeah.
Versus 60,000 students or something at maybe Columbus. I'm not sure if Columbus or Cleveland is the largest. And how they can be equitable among those, because if you have 60 or 100 kids in a school district, you still have to have a building. You know, your overhead costs are going to be so high per student versus your 60,000, and trying to make that fair and not compare it with their neighboring districts, because they can't, because they need to have different things. So they try to look at things just so much differently this time, which it does, in theory, it sounds great. So hopefully they can get somewhere with it. You can call your legislatures and tell them that you like it, tell them you'd like to see more, you'd be interested in conversations with them or moving forward with it. That would be a great way to keep it moving.
Thank you. Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay.
Talked enough.
At this time, can I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss the employment of personnel?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. We will now go into executive session. Now out of the session, it is 6:57. Can I have a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Meeting is adjourned.